Session number 8985, Reel 7.
Mr. Parry, Reel 7.
Because I didn't know their names anyway, neither did I know their addresses. But in any case, I did trace out a fictitious route. Then, sometime during that day, I was taken to Friend Prison and was put through a humiliating business of taking all your clothes off and being sprayed and all your clothes going through a steam press, supposed to get rid of all the nits and creepy crawlies and things, which obviously, certainly as far as I was concerned, didn't exist. The clothes I had belonged to the son of this wealthy French woman, and I was wearing silk shirts well, just beautiful clothes. He was the same size as I was, and I mean so, but nevertheless you went through the process. And then locked away in solitary confinement, think about things a bit, and then you were fed, not very well, but you were fed, and in fact given 3 cigarettes a day. And on Sunday you got 2 cigarettes and a cigar. So, stumpy, filthy tasting cigar. I imagine it was the same ration that German soldiers got. Anyway, you did get that. But frequently I had visits from the Gestapo, and I was taken to a room where they interrogated me. There were about 4 or 5 that always used to come. And the one who was the boss was a major in a parachute division. Now, when he came in uniform, he was a very good-looking man. I would say, from what I imagine, the old Prussian outfit, very pale face, bright blue eyes, pale blue, but bright. He had a duelling scar on his face. He told me that he had taken part when they dropped onto Crete and took Crete over. He'd be one of the sort of parachute. He was highly decorated, stuff all over him. When he came in uniform, if they abused me at all, I said to him, "How can you do this to an officer? I'm not obliged to talk to you at all. Name, rank, and number. Finish." He stopped them. But when he was in civilian clothes, he was sometimes, he was a bigger swine than any of them. He really was Jekyll and Hyde, that fellow. I really didn't know anything anywhere. They wanted the invasion date, the invasion date. I mean, I didn't know it any more than anybody else did. I knew it was going to come, that's all. But this was, I was shot down on the 24th of September, and now we're talking about early February 44. I mean, it's just not on.
In what way did they abuse you?
Well, I was slapped around the place and then picked up and punched around and so forth. I was threatened to be shot. In fact, I was actively taken to be shot on 3 occasions, but it was all bluff. But you're not to know that.
You were actually stood up against a wall, were you?
Oh, yes. The third time, I was quite sure that it was going to happen.
How far did they go with the...
Well, you had a blindfold put round you, and you heard clicking of bolts and things, which is then the command to fire, and then nothing happened, and just laughter. I don't know, it's very hard to say, but I wasn't the final time I thought really real. I wasn't frightened. I think that's perhaps like someone that knows he's going to be hanged. There's a sort of calm must come over you, because there's nothing you can do. I don't know. But certainly the first couple of times I was... I was extremely frightened, but it was just try and force information out of me, and I hadn't got it anyway. Simple as that. I couldn't tell them. I couldn't tell them what they wanted to know. Really, all they wanted to know is when the invasion's coming. And that went on and on and on. And you'd have in these things, you'd be sitting at a table with these monsters here. But the average Gestapo chap looked like an American gangster with his hat pulled on. And oh, his whole outlook, they were thugs, those things. But not this, not the one in charge, he was... that came there, he was an upper class merchant. But you'd be asked something, and you knew when you said you didn't know that you were going to be hit, but you didn't know when. There was a big Luftwaffe fella standing behind you, then bang, you'd be knocked to the floor, you know, yanked up and then put back in the chair. All right, what I endured was nothing. I mean, I'm not trying to make a big thing, but it happened, that's all. I'm just telling you it happened, and it's a bit frightening. Then they gave up one day. They was being transferred to a prison camp, and another bunch of people. I think we went to the Gare de l'Est, where we went from, and I suppose we were all together, maybe about 20 people, but they were all in uniforms or bits of uniforms, and there was I in the remnants. I say remnants because, you know, clothing's not done any good if it's put through steam press and things, and it's all right if it's in a cleaners where it's pressed properly. But I was in civilian clothes completely, and these chaps there, they didn't want to know me at all. They thought they'd only get mixed up with any agents. They told me after some of them were in the same camp as I. They said, boy, we didn't want to know you. They might think that we won't shoot you, not only you, but us. And we went to Dulag Luft in Frankfurt, where we were interrogated then by the Luftwaffe people there.
What's happened at Dulag Luft?
Well, when I got there, I think the same evening that we got there, I was carted off to see an interrogator who was in the private dress of the Luftwaffe, though he obviously wasn't. And he came forward and said, "Ah, pleased to see you, Flight Lieutenant Parry. My name is Black." And so I said to him, "Oh, you must be one of these English renegade bastards," or words to that effect. And he said, no, he said, "My name is Schwartz." He said, "Black to you because you're English." In fact, just to go a slight bit more, there was a raid coming on, and I said to them, "They're probably after your secret weapon." And the chap said, "What do you know about our secret weapon?" "Well, I knew nothing at all, but the French had told me there was something going on, and we had been escorting bombers to do just the sort of coastal sort of things in no obvious targets just before I was shot down. So there was something going, but I don't know what it was, no idea what it was." Anyway, he was a bit upset with that. Then he knew that I'd come from Rhodesia, and he said, "I've got a chap from South Africa next door," and another interrogator came in from there. "Oh," he said, "I was the manager of the Adler Car Company," he said, "the bottom of Hospital Hill in Johannesburg before the war. Do you know it?" I said, "Yeah, I know it all right. We used to sell DKWs with those umbrella handles for gear levers, and the Adler car." "Oh," he said, "oh, well, you know, see you in Joburg after the war." I said, "Not if I can have anything to do with this. Things like you will never be allowed out again." And he laughed. "Oh," he said, "you know, he was nice."
Going back to Fren, how long were you actually there, do you know?
Near enough a month.
Were you in solitary confinement, or did you have
all the time?
Did you have any contact with other prisoners there?
No. The only contact I had at all there was when we moved in. When I was moved in, there must have been others caught at that time, and we were lined up against a wall, and on the other side was Jeanette Huet, who I'd been with, the woman that looked after me with some other women, on the other side of this big sort of hallway. And one German came down and said, "Ah, and you, what were you?" And they were all bomber pilots, some were American, which they called Terrorfliegers. And the Germans, the Americans were Luftgangsters, and the RAF bombers were Terrorfliegers. And when he got to me, he said, "New?" So I said, I had a Dutchman next to me, as a matter of fact, and I said, "What's a fighter pilot in German?" And he said, "Jagdflieger." So I said, "Jagdflieger." "Ah, sehr gut," he said, "Jagdflieger." I was all right. But these others, these Terrorfliegers and Luftgangsters, were not all right. And they had dogs there, these Doberman Pinschers. And a few of the blokes were a bit cocky and said, rude things to them. They just turned their dogs on them. They scrapped them, you know. And then they said, what you've got to say is, these dogs would have polished you off, undoubtedly. They were real savage things. They're big dogs. Pinchers, as you know, but nothing like that happened to me. But I've made a note that don't get cheeky with one of these if there's a dog around, because they'll turn it on you. I don't think they were sadistic people themselves, really, that particular lot. They were prison warder types. They were in service uniform, but they were only sort of guards, really. They were nothing.